Tell you what, you just can't beat the old ones, can you? Won't have to worry anymore. That's what we're working for. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and just hang on to that for a few moments. This morning, we're going to think about bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. I have some good news, and I have some bad news. The good news is that everyone who puts their faith in and is obedient to Jesus Christ will go to heaven. But now here's the bad news. We all have to go together. There's an old saying that goes something like this. It says, to live above with saints we love will be... Let me start over. To live above with saints we love, that will be glory. But to live below with saints we know, that's quite a different story. And sometimes it is hard to get along with each other, isn't it? Yep. A little boy was sitting on the front steps looking very upset when his father came in. And his father, recognizing that look on his face, he said, what's wrong with you? And the little boy said, well, Dad, just between you and me, I'm having a great deal of problems getting along with that wife of yours. A little girl was being forced to eat alone, and she was sitting at a small table in the corner of the kitchen. And the rest of the family was around the dining room table there and trying to ignore her, and they heard her pray. I thank you, Lord, for preparing this table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Well, Satan doesn't want us to get along with each other. He wants us to become annoyed and upset and to fall out with each other. And healthy relationships demand work. And sometimes it's hard work. And it demands a whole lot of grace. Relationships are very vulnerable and they can fall apart so easily. And the way a person behaves and the way they think can irritate us and cause us to fall out of unity with them. And the way a person behaves and thinks can be very annoying to some people. I put in on the internet, I went to the internet and Googled annoying people this week. And very interesting what I came up with. And but in one of the sites that I landed on, there was a banner that was there, and it read like this: Dear annoying person, you have some annoying habits. Breathing is one of them. that's kind of rough, isn't it? But one website was dedicated to listing the things that people do that are annoying. Well, I think this person really didn't have a whole lot to do myself, but at any rate, this website was called 101 Kinds of Annoying People. And the site gave a whole list of things that annoy people. And the list at that particular time as I read it had 129 different things on it. And I'm sure that list is probably changing daily with people. But imagine this idea. People annoy. We have trouble getting along with each other, don't we? Now you may have seen the movie Fellowship of the Ring. And the movie is based on the first book of a three-volume epic novel that is called The Lord of the Rings. And the story takes place in a fictional place called Middle-earth. And the story is about a young hobbit by the name of Frodo who has been entrusted with this ring that is anybody who has it is... it has a lot of problems. It has absolute power about it, and it corrupts anyone who has that ring. And Frodo is given this mission to to destroy the ring. So he goes on this great quest, and he gathers what is known as the Fellowship of the Rings. And this fellowship is a group of friends that gather around him to take this ring to have it destroyed. And this group of friends, this fellowship of friends, is made up of hobbits and humans and a wizard and an elf. And the group, they have a lot of things that they have, a lot of problems and a lot of difficulties. They have to fight enemies on the outside, and then they have to fight the enemy on the inside due to the corruption of this ring. And all along the way, this fellowship is fractured by selfishness and difficulties and all kinds of personalities that they have to deal with. And the success of the mission is greatly compromised. Now, if you want to know the rest of the story, you got to watch the movie and find out. But doesn't that story sort of sound like the fellowship of the church? The church is a fellowship of believers who have come together, and sometimes the fellowship of God's people has many challenges for us to overcome. And together we try to do the work and the will of God in this world. But many times it is difficult because we have to deal with each other. And in doing so, we are forced to deal with enemies on the outside, as well as evils and internal struggles. And so this is why we need to heed the instructions of Paul found in our text this morning. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, read with me verses 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There are four things that I want us to see from these verses that help us to bear with one another. First of all, bearing with others is a part of walking worthy of our calling. We are instructed to live a life worthy of our calling in Jesus Christ. Paul says, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Jesus is the one who has called us and has made this calling possible. We have to learn to live a life worthy of Jesus and the example that He has set for us. And when we look at the way Jesus handled people and the way He treated people, we can learn a whole lot how we are able to bear with people. Jesus was absolutely perfect. And He puts up with all the rest of us who are absolutely imperfect. Bearing with people means to show tolerance. It means to show allowances for the way that they think, the way that they behave. And God wants us to love all people, and even those who are hard to love. And some people are easier to love than others. And we're all aware of that. One preacher calls difficult people in his life who are they're difficult to deal with, he calls them VDPs, that is, very demanding people, or very draining people. And that's just what people can be. Every one of us can be very draining to somebody else. Another term that is used is EGR people, or extra grace required people. You have, and I have to deal with a lot of people that demand a lot of grace, don't we? We all have to deal with somebody that is very difficult to get along with. And I'm not talking about bearing with people's sins. That's not what I'm talking about at all. We're not called to tolerate someone's sin. Sin must be repented of and not tolerated. I'm talking about extending grace to those who are just wired differently than me, that are wired differently than you. We're called to endure the everyday frustrations of living with each other. And this is, this is a basic part of living. It's a basic part of learning to live a life worthy of a calling. The calling that God has given us in Jesus Christ. And it cannot be avoided. We're called to love and to value all people. And those that we like and those that we don't particularly like. Those who are easy to get along with and those who are not so easy. But secondly, bearing with others requires humility and gentleness and patience. Humility is a very important part of learning to bear with one another. In humility, I remember that I'm far from perfect. In humility, you remember that you are far from perfect. Humility is an attitude of mind that comes from a true estimation of who I am, of who you are. And most of us have no idea how irritating we are to others around us. Most of us have no idea how much grace someone has to expend for me, for you, because of the way we're wired. Pride says, you know, I'm the best thing in this world. Everybody likes me because I'm just likable. That's just the way I am. But humility says, I'm just as peculiar as any other person in this world. We're all different. And I want to know how I'm irritating to others so I can change. Humility says, I don't expect more from others than I expect from myself. I know I'm not perfect. And I know that I behave and think differently than most people. We must learn to express that humility, and it comes through gentleness. We express that through gentleness through our humility. And when we are tempted to you know, kind of be rough with somebody, we need to keep in mind how gentle God has been with me, with you. How has God reacted to your situations in life? We need to keep in mind how we like to be treated ourselves. And most of us kind of like being treated gently, don't we? A man was in the supermarket, and the baby in his shopping cart was just screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming. And a woman noticed that all the time the baby was screaming, the man just kept calmly saying, "Keep calm, Albert. Keep calm, Albert. Keep calm, Albert." And finally, she was just admiring this man for the way he was reacting. And she went over to the man and said, I just want to say and commend you for your patience with baby Albert." And the man says, "Miss, I'm Albert." Well, you know, all of us need to remind ourselves to keep calm at times, don't we? We need to learn to be calm in the midst of situations that are very unnerving, that are very stressful, that are very unlike us. We must learn to be patient with others through humility. And in being patient, we try to understand where they're coming from. You know, the old adage just says that you'll never understand someone until you experience or walk a mile in their shoes. Most of us have never walked in their shoes. And all people are the way they are because of the sum total of the experiences and the difficulties that they've lived through. And most of the time, we seldom know the whole story. It's a whole lot easier to be patient and gentle with people when we know where they're coming from. Bearing with each other requires humility. It requires gentleness. It requires patience. And thirdly, then, bearing with others requires forgiveness. Bearing with one another and having forgiveness, it's closely associated. Paul wrote over in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and verses 12 through 13, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. How tragic it is for some people to carry around a grudge in their life for years and years and years. And it's completely out of character with anyone who claims to be a Christian, who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ. How can a Christian hold a grudge against anyone when Christ has canceled our own debt? Paul says, as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Forgiveness is one of those explosive subjects, though, isn't it? Many of us have been deeply hurt by someone. And we just don't feel like forgiving them. Yet, forgiveness is not a feeling. It is a decision. If we wait for ourselves to feel like forgiving someone, we may never get to the point of feeling like it. And it will take a very long, long time to get there. That's why forgiveness is a command. It's not based on a feeling. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Whew, that's getting pretty tight, isn't it? So forgiveness is intentional. It's something we choose to do. We may not be able to forgive and forget, but we can forgive and choose to not dwell on it. Forgiveness is the deliberate decision not to seek revenge. Forgiveness is a conscious decision to not allow a problem to come between us. Every person who has forgiven, has a forgiving spirit, chooses to do so. And on the other side of that coin, every person who has an unforgiving spirit also chooses to do so. Forgiveness is hard, though. It's very hard. And it is impossible without God's power through Jesus Christ. Forgiving someone who hurt you may be one of the hardest things that you'll ever do. A man was trying to cross the street, and he stepped off the curb, and a car comes screaming around the corner toward him. And of course, the man tried to hurry on across the street, but it seemed the car just came after him. And so he turned and ran the other direction, and the car came after him again. And finally, he was just so scared that he just froze right there and stopped in the middle of the street, where the car rolled up beside him and screeched to a stop, and the window rolled down, and there sat a squirrel in the driver's seat. And the squirrel said, "See, it's not as easy as it looks, is it?" Well, forgiveness is not as easy as it sounds, is it? Forgiveness is not easy, and we cannot do it without God's help. God is love, and God gives His love to us through His Spirit and as a fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And thus, forgiveness is an expression of God's love. Now, forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. Don't look at them as being the same. Some Christians feel real hard about themselves because they think that they have truly forgiven, or they haven't truly forgiven someone because things haven't been reconciled between them. Forgiveness requires one person to offer the grace of forgiveness, but it also reconciliation requires that the other person accept that forgiveness. You see, God offers forgiveness to all people through Jesus Christ, but not everyone has accepted that forgiveness, and therefore not all people are reconciled to God. But Paul says there in Romans, the 12th chapter and the 18th verse, if it is possible, as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. We must forgive and move on. Whether or not they admit they want or even accept our forgiveness. Forgiveness is not only good for the offender, but it's good for the offended. And one man said it like this: to forgive is to set a prisoner free and then discover that the prisoner was you. We must learn to bear with each other, and it requires forgiveness. And number four, bearing with others preserves unity among believers. Paul said in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Patience and forbearance, forgiveness and peace, these things are not just automatic. They involve deliberate acts of our will, and they take all kinds of effort. All kinds of effort. But they are worth the effort. They are worth the effort for the good of the church and for the unity in the body of Christ. So how do we bear with one another? How do we do that? How is it that we are able to get along for the unity in spite of all of our different behaviors and the way we act and our different personalities? The first thing we need to do is take a good look at self. Look at self and make an honest assessment of our own weaknesses, our own difficulties, our own behaviors. How are my behaviors different than your behaviors? How is my thinking different than your thinking? Take an honest assessment. And then after you've taken this honest look at yourself, understand why others don't tolerate you so well at times. And, we all have difficulties. We all have problems. We all have personalities. And sometimes it's like this little story I've used before, that a young couple moved into the neighborhood and they were sitting at the breakfast table, and the wife, the lady was hanging out the garment to wash on the other side of the street there, and the wife said something about that laundry is not very clean. And she doesn't know how to wash. Maybe she needs a different laundry soap. And the husband just kind of looked, didn't say anything. And then every time the neighbor across the street washed, the wife would say the same thing. And then one morning, she got up and looked, and she said, wow, she's learned to wash. Her clothing's clean this morning. She must have got a different soap. And the husband, no, I got up early and cleaned our window. You know, sometimes we need to clean our own windows, don't we? We need to take a real fresh assessment of self. And that's hard to do. And we cannot do it without God's help. Well, second, make a list of those that you're having difficulty with. You know? And then ask yourself, why do I have difficulty with these people? What is it about him or her that annoys me? Are these things just personal quirks? Or are they just simply preferences? Or is it because they're too much like me? Boy, that assessment's hard to make, isn't it? But thirdly, the greatest thing we can do is pray. Pray. Ask God to help you see these people from His perspective. Ask God to change you, to change them. Prayer makes the difference. And then make an effort to be positive toward that people, those people. Make an effort to serve them in some way. We can let go of a grudge, and we can forgive if we truly work it out with God's help. There's a Peanuts cartoon where Lucy says to Snoopy, "There are times when you really bug me, but I must admit that there are times when I feel like giving you a big hug." And then Snoopy says, "That's the way I am, buggable and huggable." Doesn't that describe most of us? We're all huggable at times, and oh my, we're all buggable at times. And the only way we can deal with people is with the help of God through Jesus Christ. So this morning, have you really given your life to Jesus Christ? Have you turned everything over to Him? Have you allowed Him to take a hold of your life, to change it, to help you bear with burdens of others? Help you deal with them? Have you been baptized into Christ? Have you really been serving Him with all that you have? That's why we've come to this time of decision this morning, that you can examine your own life and give your life to Jesus Christ in complete surrender, whatever your need. Come as we stand and as we sing.